Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
Singaporean hospitality brands have long distinguished themselves throughout the world, with trade and travel routes bringing guests and brands to and from the island. In recent years, a strong hotel market in the Asia-Pacific region has seen transaction volume grow 15% year-on-year, creating fertile ground for up-and-coming hospitality companies.
Well, in the first 7 months of 2019 alone, visitor arrivals to Singapore grew steadily to 11.1 million, largely driven by growth in the country's top 10 visitor source markets, with six of the top 10 showing year-on-year growth. Well, we speak to Marcus Au, Managing Director of Travel Lodge Hotels Asia, about some of the trends and insights into the Singapore hotel market. Well, first things first, Marcus, Travel Lodge Asia has been riding a wave of successes recently since their acquisition of the globally recognized Travel Lodge brand in Asia in 2015. I understand in 2017, it launched its brand in Asia as a mid-range a select service hotel chain, opening their first hotel in Hong Kong, and has since opened an average of about one property every 2 months in countries across the region, such as Thailand, Korea, and even Malaysia as well. However, the brand has held off on launching a property on the home ground, which is until now. Share more about the motivations behind TLA's striking it out overseas before coming home.
Thank you very much for having me this afternoon. First of all, I should probably clarify that Travel Lodge as a brand is an international brand that sort of has an 80-year history, founded in 1939. So the brand is owned in different continents by different groups, and the brand in Asia, in this case, is owned by a Singapore company. Hence, to some extent, people sort of assume that it's a Singapore brand. But that said, when we bought the brand in 2015, it was very much with the intention of adopting a pan-Asian strategy. So every market was equally important to us. But of course, being Singaporean, I have a natural bias towards having something in my home ground. Not because I would love to go see it every day and admire it, but Singapore's a great market that has a very high visitor arrival, both corporate and leisure. So it was important for us to come to Singapore. And fortunately, you know, we found the right partner, the right opportunity, the right hotel at the right time. And since then, we've opened, I think, what, it's the second or third largest travel lodge in the world. Mm-hmm. And coincidentally, and again, no biasness because I'm Singaporean, but we opened it on the National Day. So 9th
not.
Of August.
Yeah. No bias.
Absolutely by chance.
Absolutely, yeah. Why was now the right time, though?
I think if you look at Singapore's hospitality market, in the last sort of 10 years, it's been quite slow. It's been coming down because of a bit of an oversupply. So 2018 was the first year that there was any growth in rates in the Singapore market. 2019 is looking okay as well. So we thought from a timing perspective, it's better to have, you know, tailwinds in the market when you're coming in as opposed to having have headwinds.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are some of the biggest trends, Marcus, shaping the hospitality industry today? Mm. I mean, a lot of talk has been going on about millennials, about the tech explosion, about sustainability and other unique perks as well. So what are the biggest trends?
I think if you look at, you know, technology, people, sustainability, a lot of that invariably has an impact on consumer tastes and preferences, which over time continuously evolves, right? So as opposed to targeting a specific disruptor, a lot of times I tend to look at it from the perspective that we have to be very in tune with what is happening in terms of what the consumer is thinking. So using the millennials as an example, for some reason there's a preference for them not to interact so much with people when they check in. So, you know, this whole mobile key concept of them being able to go straight to their room without having to say hello is something that we're working on as an example. The whole idea of instant gratification, where they want their benefits straight away as opposed to waiting for 10 stays before you actually get some form of benefit. So we actually reward the travel lodge customer, you know, right at the onset when they make the booking. So I think the consumer tastes and preferences change and evolve very quickly. And it's ours. The onus is on us to make sure that we stay relevant. Insofar as another disruptor that I think is quite important and I hold quite dearly is the people agenda. For us, you know, I think given all that's happening globally from a political standpoint, it's not so bad for, you know, for our people agenda to be centered around diversity and inclusiveness. So regardless of race, you know, religion, language, sexual orientation, I think we're very accepting of or age even, very accepting of our staff. and very much center the business around meritocracy. So if you're good, you know, we promote you quickly, we look after you, and we give you a very good career progression within the organization.
Mm. Staying on the theme of trends shaping the industry, let's talk about Asia's rapidly expanding middle class and wellness being a huge part of their holiday plans, so to speak. Talk to us a bit about that, because we're talking about Asia Pacific being the fastest growing wellness tourism market. So that's something you probably have to look into.
Yeah, for sure. I think because of the way Asia is structured, where, you know, you have Indonesia and Philippines and Vietnam that have a lot of these beautiful islands and so by extension resort locations, wellness is becoming a big theme where it's the destination, it's an objective of why people travel as opposed to being part and parcel of your travel. So I just came back last month from this detox program in Koh Samui where I was put on a vegan diet for a week. And if you had asked me whether I would enjoy doing that in Singapore, not so much. But when I went there, even
coupled
though I could
with the surrounding
about,
and environment, yeah,
the whole environment just
made you
works.
Less grumpy.
Made me less grumpy, even though, you know, I was craving that bak chor mee and burgers and fries just about every day. But, you know, that concept's good. I think what's actually interesting for the industry is to explore how to urbanize it, right? So how do we take something that people typically say it's a rural concept or it's a concept that, you know, you need to travel to and bring it to a place like Singapore where you could take the weekend off and go for a detox program? Insofar as how it relates to us as a brand and us as a company, I think we are more about enabling the travelers to achieve their broader objectives. And so they don't come to us so much for the purposes of wellness, but we have to make sure that we can cater to that need, whether it's being able to tell them where they can get a very good bowl of quinoa salad, for example, or where they can get a good yoga mat. So, for example, at our hotel in Singapore, next month we've got a HIIT gym that's coming in onto our rooftop and doing an open-air class. So it's about providing that as an enabler as opposed to that being the centerpiece of our offering.
Well, this is First Things First. You're tuned to a prime time here on Money FM 89.3. We're talking to Marcus Au, Managing Director of Travel Lodge Hotels Asia. Well, Marcus, according to research, 2019 will see a shift in the development trend as hotels open outside of the so-called core central region, the CCR. What are your thoughts on this?
I think Singapore, if you look at sort of the urban planning, it takes a lot of tips from a lot of different global cosmopolitan cities, right? So you look at London as an example. There are little mini enclaves of communities like, you know, Shoreditch, whether it's Mayfair, Kensington. In Singapore's case, I think there's a big concentration of the population sometimes in the centre. And I think the government's putting a lot of effort around moving us out of the centre, where the whole concept of you live at A, you work at B, and you play at C becomes you can, you know, work, live, and play at A, B, and C. So how that relates to us is I think we would expect to have hotels outside of this CCR as it's defined. This would mean going to places like Changi. This would mean going to places like Buona Vista, going to places like Jurong, for example, where your typical five-star hotel, you know, just would not be. But we as a mid-scale brand are quite happy to be, in fact, delighted to be, because there is that consumer in that market who would crave our offering in that very specific catchment area.
Well, that would maybe depend on the amenities surrounding in that area, which is perhaps not so much in your control at this point.
Yes.
How might you mitigate that particular challenge?
I think it's about being very responsible in how we expand. So typically, if we don't feel that we can deliver a very good return to our owners of the hotel in that location, many a times we tell them, look, it's probably not the best idea to build a hotel in this location. So a lot of the homework and the due diligence is actually done up front, or, you know, with a view to what is going to happen down the line. So just using our Singapore hotel as an example, it's right at the center of the entrance to Sentosa. So it has its own catchment area in terms of the harbourfront, Alexandra Road business area. But with the recent announcement by PM about, you know, the Greater Southern Waterfront, where it's developing offices and developing residential communities, that adds more weight to you know, the hotel offering. But taking a step back, a lot of the work as to whether or not the risks are mitigated actually happen before we even take over the hotel, before we even look at the hotel.
Okay, well, Mark is working in the hotel industry. What are some of the biggest challenges and drawbacks?
Service is a calling, some say.
Service is a calling. For us, well, as an entrepreneur, I think, you know, hard work is probably the first, I wouldn't say challenge, but it's exhausting. I used to have a lot less white hair than I do now.
Not many white hair, I can't see
still. Well,
it's hidden in the back, and I was hoping it's more grey than white. But nevertheless, I think people is the big challenge, as you pointed out. Being able to make sure that we engage with the people that work with us, making sure sure that we're giving them the right training, the right development. I think that's a very important thing that we have to be very mindful of. Beyond that, I think, you know, the other sort of emphasis is that I always think about is making sure that career progression is something we offer to every single one of our employees, because it's easy to lose track when you've got, you know, a large organization. In our case, every hotel, you know, has a very large team. So that rank and file stuff at times sort of gets lost in the rough.
Yeah.
And it's making sure
not
that we
can identify
that.
Not the best reputation the service industries has.
No, no.
Particularly pay-wise, et cetera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in affluent countries as well, it's made worse. In Singapore and Hong Kong, it's made worse. And these are two markets where we are quite active. So being mindful of that is something that we're very careful about.
How about debunking some myths that people have about the hotel industry? That, unfortunately, wasn't one of them.
Yeah, I know, I know. I think people think it's an easy job to clean up rooms, as an example. But people don't realize that many a times guests seem to be a little bit more liberal when it comes to a hotel room vis-a-vis what they would do in their own home. So you'd be very surprised what you find in the trash, what you find on the bed. And so, you know, big sort of shout out to the housekeepers and our room attendants at all the travel hotels, where the amount of effort it takes for them to clean up a room and to do so within 20 minutes and then to do 10 or 15 of them a day. I think it's difficult. And so, you know, to your point about what people don't realize, I think you don't realize how difficult it is to clean a room.
Marcus Au, Managing Director of Travelodge Hotels Asia. He's been speaking to us about the trends that might be coming up in the hospitality industry. Marcus, thank you so much for coming.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.